Week 3, 6, 4. Week 3, 6, 4. Welcome again to our studies on the Gospel of Matthew. We come now to chapter 14, and some very interesting truths are enunciated in this chapter. And we want to look at them together. It is the death of John the Baptist, and we find that Herod the king has a birthday, and his wife, who was his brother Philip's wife, and that was unlawful, has a daughter, Herodias. And she danced before Herod and for all the great men of his kingdom that were invited to his birthday party. Well, her dancing so pleased Herod that he foolishly said, with an oath, to give her whatsoever she would ask. But she had already been primed by her mother, Herodias. And Herodias told her daughter, Salome, that she should ask for the head of John the Baptist on a charger or on a silver plate. And when Herod heard this, we see he was sorry, nevertheless, in verse 9, for his oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And so that's how John the Baptist was murdered. Now, looking at that, you could say, well, poor Herod. He was trapped by his own words, and he was sorry that he had to order the death of John the Baptist. However, as we look into other verses, we find that is not the case. That Herod himself was very upset with John the Baptist, who was condemning him for having married his brother Philip the Tetrarch's wife. And we read here that he would have put him to death, but he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Therefore, in the heart of Herod, there was a desire to do away with John the Baptist, to murder him, and because of that, you see, he would have been freed from the condemning voice that was upsetting his conscience. I want to point out something that's very important indeed. You see, Herod wanted to kill John the Baptist, but he feared the multitude. He feared the multitude. And so often, that's the case with wicked people. People that do not have the love of righteousness are smitten with the fear of man. The fear of man is a snare. And the result is the fear of man causes a person to do things that they know are not right and they don't want to do it. Well, in this case, Herod wanted to kill John, but the fear of man stopped him. But God. You see, on Judgment Day, Herod would say, oh, I did not kill Herod. I did not kill John the Baptist, Herod would say. But God arranged it that the desire of his heart was fulfilled, so that on Judgment Day, what is going to be the result on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day. Herod will have to give an account for the murder of John the Baptist, as Judas will have to give an account for his betrayal of Jesus. It's interesting. Judas was in quite a similar situation, actually. Afterwards, he regretted what he did, but he'd done it. See, because of the love of money, he was covetous, and so he had opportunity to betray Jesus, and so he will be found guilty for participating in the death of Jesus. Well, there we are. So we've got to be very careful. See, God will give us the desires of our hearts so often, whether they're good or whether they're bad. May God grant that they're not bad, because opportunity will be given, you know, to fulfill evil desires, and we'll have to give an account for them on the day of judgment. Now then, we look on, and Jesus heard it, and he departed by ship, the Sea of Galilee, into a desert place. But the people heard it, and they followed him around, you know, the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and came to him. And there was a great multitude, a great multitude. Now here we see the heart of Jesus. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now the disciples come to him and said, "Look, it's eventide. Send them away that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said, "They don't need to depart. Feed them." And the disciples said, "Look, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that's all that Jesus needed. He said, "Well, bring these 5 loaves and 2 fishes to me." And he then gave a commandment. And one of the things when you're studying the Gospels is to compare Gospel with Gospel. Because, you see, Luke gives us some more interesting, sidelights to this miracle. And he said that Jesus distinctly told the multitude to break up into groups of 50, so that there would have been 100 groups of 50, and the size of this multitude would have been 100 by 50, and that's the size of the outer court of the tabernacle and of Moses. And so we're going to see here that the Lord who gave the tabernacle and all those truths is the one that's going to do this mighty miracle. And we're told in another gospel that he just lifted up this food and his eyes to heaven, and he blessed the food. And the result was everybody was fed. And look at this. They had 12 baskets full over. In other words, they had more over than what they started with. Well, who is this but Jehovah Jireh? The Lord that sees and the Lord that provides. And so we have a mighty miracle here. 5,000 men beside women and children. Now then, that should encourage us. You know, the Lord had compassion upon this multitude. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time, and perhaps you have no job and very little money. and you've got to provide for your family, you know, pray. And ask the Lord, who is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that sees and provides, to look after you. And I've known of many miracles where God has done just that. You know, one comes to my mind as I speak here, and it was something that happened in the south of France when I was a pastor down there. I was visiting a certain church, and there was a lady missionary also from England there, and she said, you know, there's a family that wants to entertain you for lunch. And I said, all right, fine. But she said, I have to tell you this. This family is extremely poor. They have no floor on their house. You will sit on dirt. They have a few chairs. You'll sit on a chair. And she said, there is a husband who gets very little money. There is the mother, and there are six boys. Oh, I said, I don't want to go. I certainly don't want to take of their food. Oh, she said, you have to. She said, if you refuse, you will hurt them. It will be very traumatic for them. Because they know they're poor. And because they're poor, you know, they cannot receive you. They want to receive you. They want to give. And with reluctance, I said, all right, I'll go. Well, I went to this house. They were so gracious. But here was a pot or a tureen set in the middle of the table. And here was a soup spoon. And because I was a pastor and I was the honored guest, I was going to be served first. And of course, the situation was I was going to get most. And I was praying, oh God, there's not a lot of meat in here. And these children, these boys, with their brown eyes, were looking at me, you know, wondering if there was going to be enough meat for them after I'd finished. And I prayed, oh God, do something special here. Well, you know what happened? Yes, I had a goodly portion. But, you know, as that mother, you filled the plate of her husband, and then of each boy, and then eventually her own, do you know there was still plenty of meat in that pot? And I'm not sure if there wasn't the same amount as when they started. And I was so thankful. And I was so relieved that everybody had meat for lunch. And I was hoping they'd have meat for supper too. Yes, God can provide. I've seen God stretch food. You know, in situations where we've been on the foreign field, perhaps, and we provided meat for the guests and so forth, you know, those attending a meeting, and to our amazement, there has been more people than we had thought we had to cater for. But by praying, God somehow has stretched the food, and everybody has eaten and being well satisfied. I know what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying here is this. That the miracle that you're reading of in the Gospel of Matthew is a miracle that happens very frequently all over the world when God's people are in need. So if you're in need, why not believe him? Why not believe him? You know, I've known people who do not tithe, and they have been hamstrung, shall I say, for money. And then the pastor said, look, you're always in difficulty with money, but are you tithing? And they said, well, no, we haven't got enough money to tithe. He said, give to God first and see what happens. And you know, extraordinary things have happened. That they've had the same amount of money, you know, come in, they pay their tithe, and somehow the money that is left provided for all they needed. And I've seen people get promoted when they start tithing, and things change, and all kinds of things happening. No, you cannot outgive God. Well, the next miracle is a miracle that proves that Christ was the Lord of creation. And he sends the multitudes away, and he sends his disciples into a ship to go to the other side. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, which is the last watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Well, I tell you this, they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. They cried out in horror, in fear. And Jesus said, don't worry, it's me. And then Peter, adventurous as ever, said, Lord, if it's you, command that I come. Now, don't forget, the waters were very tempestuous. Those of you who have been on seas where the waves have been great and you've been in a small boat, you know how dangerous that is. But here is the intrepid Peter. He said, Lord, if it's you, call me, I'll go. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of that boat and started walking. And the water held him up. But then he made a tragic error. He looked at the waves and he began to sink. And I want to say this, that this is a lesson for us all. You know, when you're in difficulty and you cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, what shall we do? What shall we do? And the Lord might give you a key. And you do what he tells you to do, whatever it is, and then you look at the circumstances. And when you look at the circumstances, things change. Because you're looking at darkness, and that darkness will come into your eyes. And Jesus gave another parable earlier on. He said, you know, if your eyes be dark, well, your whole body will be dark. And so if we look at the circumstances that are confronting us and we say, oh, it's impossible, and fear enters into our hearts and minds and we're tormented. No, when we're in difficulty and we cry out to the Lord, we are to keep our eyes on the Lord. And in so doing, you see, he is light. And as we keep our eyes upon him, light will come into our eyes and our whole being will be filled with light. And so he said, you know, oh, you of little faith, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, I just want to continue in the next chapter a few thoughts here. And, you know, by their tradition, the scribes and Pharisees were annulling the fifth commandment, which says we must honor our father and mother. And they had all kinds of arguments as to why in certain circumstances one should not honor one's father or mother. And Jesus didn't mince words. He called them hypocrites. And he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, in verse 9, he goes on to say this, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now we often think of worship as just being singing and worshipping the Lord through song. But here it's very clear indeed that worship also includes teaching. And that if we have right doctrine and we tell people the truth, we are in a sense worshipping God. And I want to encourage you in this area of worship, not just to, you know, worship him in spirit, but he also says, worship me in truth, in John's Gospel, chapter 4. God seeketh those who will worship him in spirit, which is, of course, you know, singing and so forth, but also in truth. And when we speak the truth and do the truth and keep his commandments, we are, in fact, worshipping him. And, you know, there is a little scripture that I like to say. In John 7, in verse 17, he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. And there is the key to knowing right doctrine. If you will do the will of God, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so you will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Well, then he's going to touch on something that is very important indeed. And the Pharisees were very concerned that people washed their hands, you know, before they ate and before they did certain things and fed at the table. And in verse 10, he said, look, he called the multitude together. He said, hear and understand. Hear and understand. How important it is for us to understand the word of God, to understand truth. Because our very eternity depends on it. We must understand what is the right way into heaven and what is the wrong way. Because upon that understanding and our obedience to it determines whether we're going to heaven or hell. Well, he said in verse 1, now said, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. He said, it's not a question, you know, of eating with unwashed hands and so forth, though I would commend that, of course. But something else. You know, these traditions aren't going to defile you or make you clean. What actually is going to determine whether we're defiled or not, it's not that which we eat and how we eat it, but rather, shall I say, what comes out of our mouth. That is what defiles a person. That is what determines whether we're clean or unclean. It's what cometh out of us. And, of course, the Pharisees were very upset about that. And his disciples came to Jesus and said, look, they're offended. You know what Jesus said? He didn't alter his doctrine one iota. Whether people were offended by what he said didn't matter to him. He was interested in doing the will of his Father. And this is what he said. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted out. And what did he call them? The blind leaders of the blind. And we've got to be very careful. The kind of people that we follow. You know, are they blind? Do they know the word of God? Or do they not know the word of God? You know, we want people who will tell us the truth. People that will be upright. People will say, this is the word of God. And irrespective of what others say, they hold to that which is true. And Jesus was like that. You know, on one occasion, you know, the people were saying this was a hard saying as he increased the level of revelation of truth. And they started to leave him. And what did he do? He turned to his disciples. He said, "You're going to leave me too?" You know, he wasn't going to change his doctrine. But Peter, of course, said to him, "Well, whom do we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life." And so, you know, he is going to emphasize this again. He said, out of the heart, and I'm looking at verse 19 of chapter 15, and we're going to close on this very important truth. See? "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." So let us be very careful that we ask God to create in us a clean heart, that from that clean heart will flow, you know, truth, kindness, love, gentleness, mercy, and these other things that defile us shall not flow from our lips. That we be clean vessels, vessels of honor, meet for the Master's use. May you be a vessel of honor in his household. God bless you.